Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you,
Christ. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together with Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Children ages 3 through 10 are invited to follow the storyteller to the music room for a Bible story, prayers, and music. They will return at the piece.
O God, our great companion, Lead us ever more deeply into the mystery of your life and ours, and make us faithful interpreters of life to one another. Amen. Probably late this week, the Roman Catholic Church will be able to announce, we have a pope. But here today, we can joyfully proclaim, we have a new rector. The Reverend Dr. Hillary Raining has been chosen after a thorough and careful process. We will meet her here on Columba Day, June 15th, and she will begin her work with us in September. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. All of you who receive email got this news on Friday. If you're just hearing it now, welcome, and also see the connections insert in today's bulletin. And I, knowing I'd be standing here this morning, I'm grateful to Joshua and to our wardens for letting me have this information about a week ago so that I could think about what to say here today with more than 2 days' notice. Just doesn't do to walk into the pulpit when something momentous is going on in the world or in your congregation and simply not mention it. We're here to preach the gospel, and I hope to do that, but I want to weave it into this time in our life. And it's an apocalyptic time. And if you will, it's an apocalyptic time in a good way. I preached about apocalypse on Good Friday. I reminded us that the Greek word simply means an uncovering, a revelation that is not necessarily catastrophic, although common usage usually does use the word apocalypse to point to disaster, to the end of the world as we know it. Apocalypses disclose and reveal. They usher in a new age. Apocalyptic times can be wonderful. They can hold out new life and new vision. They can point to unimagined futures. Both of our readings this morning tell of apocalyptic events, of revelations that seem miraculous and wonderful. In Acts, we have the conversion of Saul from a man who brutally persecuted Christians to probably the most important figure in all Christianity after Jesus and the author of much of the New Testament. It is the famous Road to Damascus experience, and even though we didn't hear the whole passage, that's a term we use today, the Road to Damascus, to describe a coming to our senses, a blinding insight. And Saul was blinded, literally, as Jesus appeared to him in dazzling light. And then 3 days later, his sight was restored. It was like scales falling from his eyes. And he went on to get baptized and to preach Jesus as the Son of God. It's a complete reversal. His behavior changed totally. And then in John's gospel, we have the huge, huge catch of fish after a whole long night of no fish. Jesus appears to a group of disciples, and not only does their luck turn at Jesus' encouragement, but they then enjoy a delicious breakfast of grilled bread and fish on the beach, served by the risen Jesus, one who had died. There on the beach, Jesus asks Peter if he loves him. 3 times he asks him, and each time Peter says yes. And after each yes, Jesus tells Peter, "Feed my sheep." He tells him to do something, not to believe something. Jesus tells Peter to express his love in behavior. What can our modern minds make of these things, these miracles? These stories make up such an important part of what gave life to the early church, but how can they inform our churches and leaders in today's Christianity as it changes shape and evolves and sometimes seems to be in decline? These are stories of revelation, and they are apocalyptic in the good sense. They're stories of faith being kindled into effective behavior. Well, Hillary Raining is neither St. Paul nor Jesus. Actually, let's give that a thanks be to God. She is a committed, talented, experienced woman of our time, grounded firmly in faith, and I believe she will help us continue to do what we try to say we try to do all the time here at St. Columba's, and that is to live God's love. And I'm sorry if I'm overusing this brief mission statement of ours, but I do it because I think it expresses the heart and the point of our faith in just three words. Much of the commentary about Pope Francis has been about his emphasis on how we behave and treat one another, how we try to love our neighbors, and how he did. He was not a man who tried to change doctrines or beliefs, but one to try to influence behavior. And it seems to me more and more that what matters about faith is how it shapes our behavior. Do your beliefs, whether they are religious or patriotic or both, do they lead you to behave in ways that are life-giving or death-dealing? Do your beliefs lead you to behave in ways that are life-giving or death-dealing? Do your beliefs lead you to deport innocent people to be tortured in foreign prisons? Do they lead you to force a 12-year-old to give birth after she's been raped? Do they lead you to demonize LGBTQ people? Do they lead you to prioritize maximizing wealth over caring for the planet and creating a more fair economy? Of course they don't. These are not doctrinal questions. They are questions about how we behave. And they lead right back to what Jesus had to say to Peter in response to Peter's declaration of love. Jesus does not say, if you love me, believe in the Son of God or believe in the Trinity. Jesus says, if you love me, feed my sheep. As if it were not enough for Peter to profess his love. It was not enough. Love doesn't stop with fervent emotion, and love doesn't express itself in doctrines. Love expresses itself in how we act in the world. Feed my sheep and love your neighbor are probably Jesus' most important teachings, and they mean the same thing, and they are not about belief, and neither is our mission to live God's love. And that leads me back to Hillary and our lives going forward together. She has many academic credentials and does confess to a nerdy scholarly side. She seems definitely to be a hands-on, living in the real world kind of priest. She's even a beekeeper. Oh, but if you're a hands-on person and you're a beekeeper, maybe that's not going to be so good. You don't want to be dealing with bees. Hillary loves the outdoors, and she likes hiking and yoga. She strikes me as a doer, someone who embodies God's love in the way she moves through the world, in her very presence. And she does that more in how she behaves and acts than in whatever doctrine she professes. Like you, I haven't met Hillary, so I don't want to presume to say too much about her. Like many of you, I'm sure the minute I was told of her identity, I Googled and surfed my way to sermons and articles and whatever I could find out there about her, and it's all good. She seems so clearly to be focused on how we as Christians behave, on how we live as the most important expression of faith, how we live as the most important expression of our faith. For me, now entering into old age, the question is this: how do my beliefs, such as they are, shape my behavior? How do I act in this world in ways that make any difference? How does my Christianity actually matter? Well, I can say this: I believe in God as the source of love and the force of creation. I believe that this love and creative force embodies God in all of creation and very much in all of us, in each of us. For me, Jesus is the herald of that, God embodied in a human being. And hence, as a human being, I want to follow Jesus by embodying God's love, by embodying God's creative spirit in the way that I live in the world, the ways that I behave. Beliefs are important, don't get me wrong, but their importance lies in the behavior that they foster. to things done and left undone, whether in our public, our congregational, or our personal lives. For us as Christians, our faith is grounded in a story, and that story is one of generous, open-hearted love of neighbor, of love lived out in all kinds of ways. Each of us has ways to live God's love, and they're not all the same. Theologian Howard Thurman famously said, "Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive. What makes you come alive? And go do that. Go do that. Because the world needs people who have come alive." Saul came alive on the road to Damascus. The disciples came alive in their encounters with the risen Christ. Bishop Ignatius, way back in the second century, said this: "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." I believe our new rector, Hillary Raining, is such a one, and I hope she will lead us individually and as a parish to new and abundant life in the next chapter of our story of living God's love. Amen.